The floods along both the Mississippi and the Assiniboine rivers have been caused by unusually heavy spring rains and winter snows, but the rivers have also been squeezed and diverted over the years to make room for development. Periodic flooding, of course, is a natural feature of river systems everywhere. It can bring destruction and hardship to local communities, but it can also be a boon to local ecosystems. The world's Jason Margolis recently visited one such place, a dusty landscape of short grasses and scrubby trees in Queensland, Australia.
The Outback. The name alone conjures up images of one of the harshest places on the planet. It's the least settled place on Earth outside of Antarctica. Cattle rancher Angus Emmett is one of the few and proud to live in this arid area, about 750 miles inland from the coastal city of Brisbane. The nearest metropolis to Emmett's ranch is Birdsville, population 115. Like everywhere on the planet, water is life here, but it's been hard to come by recently. The last 10 years have been bone dry.
You walk out in the bush and it's just totally dead, and yeah, you struggle to go on a bit when it gets like that, so that's why it's just so magic now.
Now, things are suddenly different. The rains and floods that caused so much damage elsewhere in Australia earlier this year brought water and life back to this parched patch of land.
You walk out there now, it's just the sound and the movement is just everywhere.
It's early morning in the outback. You won't sleep past dawn here amid the cacophony.
Now we've got everything breeding, so it's very exciting.
Suddenly, there are frogs, turtles, snakes, and rats. The land on Emmett's 130,000-acre ranch, that's four times the size of San Francisco, by the way, is also suddenly bursting with green grasses. But it didn't actually rain that much here. Barry Trail says most of the rain fell 500 miles away in Australia's tropical north and flowed inland. Trail is a wildlife biologist who directs the Wild Australia program, Pew Environment Group. He's taking me for a drive through the outback.
It's most striking when you get into the super dry country and the floods will come through and they'll keep going for 500 or 800 miles south of us, and they'll go into country which has had, in many cases, no rain, no effective rain for years. And you get these lush green floodplains, several kilometres wide, iridescent green floodplains, going through this harsh red sand dune desert. It's extraordinary contrast.
We see hundreds of birds from the windows of Trail's car. Cockatoos, finches, falcons, and swallows, all suddenly thriving.
What do you call, what do Americans call, is it parakeets? A little, yeah. So one of the signature birds of the Australian outback are what we call budgerigars. Gorgeous little green parrots. And when you see them, there's these extraordinarily vibrant, mobile birds flying around in vast flocks of up to tens of thousands of birds, all wheeling in unison, twittering away. Extraordinary to see.
Trail stops at a watering hole to see if we can find flock. Those aren't birds. That's Trail making bird calls, trying to draw some over. Within moments, birds start settling on nearby tree branches. No flock of thousands, but dozens. Still pretty cool. But the sudden burst of life in the outback hasn't been an absolute blessing for everybody. I meet rancher Leonie Nunn in the tiny hamlet of Longreach. She's not pleased that another species is flourishing with the floods, Australia's signature animal.
The kangaroos. I hate them with a passion. I do hate them with a passion. Whoever put them on our coat of arms, I wish we could dig them up and try them.
Nunn says kangaroos damage the water, the grasses, the fences, and her trucks.
We've hit heaps over the years. We've got scrubby country. They jump out of nowhere. I'm sure they've got an eye problem or a hearing problem. They've got to go towards whatever's coming. I hate them.
Of course, the kangaroos were here first. And like the birds and other creatures here, the kangaroo is supremely adapted to live in dry conditions and an irregular climate. Back in his car, biologist Barry Trail tells me female kangaroos have been waiting a long time for these rains.
If the green food dries out, she can actually have an embryo fertilized in her belly, and she'll just put that on hold. They'll call it putting it into diapause. She'll just put that on hold, and it will stay alive but not grow. Then when rains come, the food quality increases. Bodies get the hormone signals from the high-quality food. The embryo kickstart again, and Within a very short time, she's got one in the pouch.
And soon after that, another young kangaroo, a Joey, is out and hopping around the outback. Angus Emmett doesn't share fellow rancher Leonie Nunn's loathing of kangaroos. Besides being a rancher, he's also a self-trained zoologist and one of the leading wildlife authorities in this part of the outback. A turtle he discovered carries his name. His true area of expertise, though, is snakes, which are also flourishing after the floods.
And in this immediate area, you get the fear snake or the western taipan, which is the most venomous land-based elapid in the world.
You're excited about this.
Yeah, that's wonderful. But they're pretty quiet. They're not going to hurt you. You've got a lot more chance of getting run over by someone out in the road.
Emmett recognizes that the floods that have brought such a proliferation of snakes and other wildlife were terrible for thousands of people in more populated parts of Australia. But he also realizes that they're a vital part of life in this country.
We had very gentle flooding here, and it's been a really magic season. But I'd like to emphasise again, there's been a lot of negative publicity about the flooding, and there has been a lot of hardship and a lot of people affected. But the landscapes do need water, they do need flooding, and that's what flood systems are all about.
For The World, I'm Jason Margolis.
Angus Emmett, who we just heard from in Jason's piece, isn't just a cattle rancher, he's also a photographer. And you can see his amazing photos of birds, snakes, and kangaroos flourishing in the outback at theworld.org.